Okay, I'm sure it says somewhere, never work with children and chocolate cake. I think it's a recipe for disaster. Now, it's you know, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to know that the parable of the hungry caterpillar is not in the of the four main gospels. I believe it's in the yet-to-be-discovered Jackanory Gospels, which I'm sure will appear at some point. But what is clear in the Gospels is that Jesus did use parables to teach people about the kingdom of God and the way in which we should act to get closer to him. And from our story, that very well-known story, we get three truths. The caterpillar was hungry, he fed, and then he was changed. So three simple points: hungry, fed, and then changed. And from the moment which the caterpillar was hatched, he was hungry. He started to look for food. And we saw you know, that on the stage. And when we start life, we also start hungry. Fortunately, we don't start straight into cherry pie and chocolate cake. But we certainly continue to need food throughout our lives. But it's not only food. God has designed us for a relationship with him. And right from the beginning, we start to seek that. In Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." And Jesus' message to us is not that we are, you know, he wants us to be hungry and thirsty for him, not just on a sort of low level, but to have a real passion for it, in the same way our caterpillar was passionate about his food. So, as you know, as we grow up, we start to ask those questions. We wonder what the world's like. Why are we here? What's our role in life? Yeah, and asking those questions, we're hungry for God. And the Bible is the word we need to read in order to satisfy that hunger, in order to be able to feed and grow. Now, I hope a load of you have brought Bibles with you, because Rachel's going to play a little game with you now.
Okay, so we're going to play a little game. You don't have to move from your seats, but if you get hold of the Bible you've brought, if you want one and you haven't got one, there's a box of them at the back. You have to be quick, because I'm going to start to allocate points. And so you need to add up points that I'm going to give you. So if you have a problem adding up, you can talk to the person next to you and help each other to work out what points you are, and we'll see if we have a winner. And I wasn't going to give a prize, but I've got a bowl of fruit pastels here for later in the talk. And for the sunbeams, I've got the sunbeams biscuits. So it could be we do have a winner and they can have something early before everybody else. So, first of all, we want everyone to be able to take part. So even if you forgot your Bible, you can have 10 points. Okay, so if you haven't brought your Bible, I'll give you 10 points to start. If you did remember to bring your Bible this morning, you read the Pew's News, and you took notice of the notice that said bring your Bibles, you can have 50 points. Well done. Now we're going a bit random here. If you've got a leather cover on your Bible, 20 points. If you have an electronic version of the Bible, app, downloaded or otherwise, 10. Okay. You can have points for all these things. If you've got that thing, you get those points, okay? So if you've got a hard copy with you, we've already done that, really. Forget that one. Right, okay. If you have a case that allows you to fit in extras, like a notebook and a pen, if there's space to put extra bits in with your Bible, 30. Okay, so you're totting up. If you've got writing in the margin in your Bible, contentious, I know, I'm going to give you 20 points. Okay. If you have a bookmark of some kind, either a ribbon that comes with, or you have put your own bookmark in, then I'm going to give that 50 points. Does your Bible have pictures? 200 points if your Bible's got pictures. I think Bibles with pictures are great. Maps. Okay, if your Bible's got a map in, an extra 100 points. And finally, I hope you've got a tally going there. Finally, if you read it most days, 1,000. Okay, so if you read it most days, 1,000. Okay, so that's it for the totting up. Let's just find out whether we have a winner. So stand up if you've got more than 100 points. Okay. Stay standing if you've got more than 500 points. Stay standing if you've got more than 1,000 points. More than 1,200. More than 1,400. Right, let's find out how many these people have got. Keith, are you my runner with the bike? So let's find out how many points to the people that are left. It's not on, I don't think. It is, was it on? Well done.
1,500.
1,500.
Well done.
1,190.
Well done. Big round of applause. I think all three, if you want, you can have a sweet. If you're not in a rush for the sweet, you'll get one later. So thank you. So as you see from that fun game, it matters less what it looks like and more whether we read it or not. There's no point in having a fancy cover, the best version, and space to write notes in if you don't pick it up and read it. Or having a downloaded version on the app with reminders to follow a plan if you don't actually turn off all your other notifications and spend some quality time stuck in reading uninterrupted. Now, you might know, some of you, a little song that helps us to read our Bible every day. Does anyone know that song? Shall we have a quick go? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And the actions are coming out. If you want to grow, if you want to grow. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Well done. Yes, it's a good one to remind us. Nice and simple tune. So let's do that together. Could we look up Matthew 4, verse 4? And I'm going to want people to read it out of a couple of different versions. So Keith's going to come round. When you found it, Matthew 4, that's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew. Chapter 4, verse 4. We just want to hear it in a few different versions. So if you've got something different.
Yep, NIV. Jesus answered, "It's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Thank you. Any different versions from the NIV?
New King James. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
Thank you. Okay, one more.
The Living Bible, but Jesus told him, "No, for the scriptures tell us that bread won't feed men's souls. Obedience to every word of God is what we need."
Wow, wonderful. Chris?
The Message, Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth."
Okay, well, with food, it's the same, isn't it? I've got a bowl of fruit pastels here, and because we didn't plan the talk around talking about choking, we also have biscuits for the Sunbeams, so the Sunbeams parents can come up and get a biscuit in a moment, because it's not going to benefit you staying here, is it? You're not going to benefit your food if you look at it. It's enjoyable to look at it and plan and look at recipes and see pictures of food, but let's face it. It's the eating that makes the difference. So we're going to open those up and eat one now. Before we do, because with Sunbeams we say thank you to God for our food, we're going to say the Sunbeams prayer. So would any former or present Sunbeams parents or any children who remember, please join me in saying the Sunbeams prayer. Thank you, God, for food to share. Thank you, God, for friends who care. Thank you for being everywhere. Amen. I'm going to send the bowl round during the next part of the talk, but the biscuits are staying here, so I'll move them to the side so that those parents can have those.
Now, fortunately, I'm not going to sing or even attempt to hum or anything. But let's get back to our story of the caterpillar. You know, he's hungry and we are hungry for God. If we think about that story, the caterpillar begins to eat good food. Can we remember what fruits he starts with? What fruit did a caterpillar start with? Marvin, an apple, thank you very much. Then what? Two pears, yeah. Then what? Three plums. See, I've got to look at the script, you lot seem to know. Then what? Four strawberries. And finally, five oranges. That was actually for the children, but never mind, hey, we'll crack on. But you can see that after each fruit, he was still hungry. He still wanted more. And same is true with the Word of God. We should always be, and we always be hungry for more of the Word of God. And consequently, we need to keep going back to it. Because the Bible's unlike any book, or any other book, I should say. When we go to the library or bookshop, we can say, you know, I've read that book. Where's the next one? Where's the next John Grisham? But we can't say that about the Bible. We might have read it from cover to cover. I'm sure many of us here have read it in a year or perhaps longer. But that doesn't mean we're finished with the Bible. In fact, that just means we know we don't know enough and we need to go back and look at it again. And just as a caterpillar goes back and continues to need the food, we continue to need that Word of God. Because every time you go back to it, the Holy Spirit will reveal more of God to us. So as we continue to grow, continue to read, we will continue to grow. And I'm going to come back to that theme of growing just right at the end of the talk. But near the end of our story, the caterpillar is getting big and fat. He certainly didn't do the Weight Watchers version of his diet there. He ate everything. But he was satisfied and he was full, or he was partly. And just as we are satisfied and full when we eat a good meal, where we've got the right balance of nutrition, of textures, carbs, protein, and all the things which go in it, so if we treat God's word correctly, we'll get all the good things from that word. We have food to keep our bodies full, but we need God's word for our mind and for our soul to be satisfied. And if we look at 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, you know, this is why you need to look at it. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, for pointing out errors, for correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. But we also know at the end of our story of the hungry caterpillar that although he might have been full and he might have started off feeling satisfied, he also ended up with a stomachache. And that's because he'd been eating too much of the wrong things. You have no idea how excited my children were about eating that chocolate cake. It sort of obsessed their lives all week thinking about it. But the caterpillar is sick because he's eaten the wrong things. And we too can feed our mind with the things which don't help us to grow. And our enemy knows this. Because we can choose how we spend our time. We choose what we read. We choose who we spend our time with. We choose what we watch on the television, what we look at on the internet, what we look at in magazines, comics, and books, and all of our things we do in our lives. And Satan will use his wily tricks to make some of those things seem more attractive than the life-giving word of God. But just like the chocolate cake is more tempting than the plum, and we might think, well, actually, I want to finish that John Grisham. I want to go to the cinema. We have to make that conscious decision to say, no, this is what I need to do. I need to go back regularly to the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying there are things that we do which isn't reading the Word of God that are wrong. Of course, they're not. There are many things which are perfectly healthy. But what we've got to do is get that perspective right to ensure we do spend the time, give the time, so we're feeding our minds with the food which is going to improve our soul and our mind. In Matthew 6:33, it says, and this is from the King James, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And I think that really sums up what should be in the forefront of our mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But that final thing that happened to the caterpillar was he was changed. All the food he ate, even the bad stuff, gave him a little bit of strength, and that built him up and built him up. And then he had that final leaf, he went into his cocoon, and he came out as a beautiful butterfly. And as our food, physical food, changes, we feed on it, it changes us. Let's give you a little illustration. Let's look at two people from our congregation. Now, Daisy, where are you two? Daisy, I'm going to ask you a question, really prepped her on this one. Daisy, are you going to get taller? Yes. Yes, good answer. Okay. Now, inevitably, we hope that Daisy is going to grow. Otherwise, she's going to be a sort of hobbit and inhabit Middle Earth, or perhaps Colford. We hope that she is... We hope she's going to grow. But let's go to the other end of the congregation. Philip, can you stand up, please? Now, Philip, are you going to grow any taller? No, he's not. Philip, have you stopped growing? Just wait. Rachel's going to give you a mic. No, he says. Rachel's going to give you a mic. Sorry, Philip, tell us how you're going to grow?
I've stopped growing. I mean, I'm still growing, but in a different way.
Yeah? And in what way are you growing, Philip?
Spiritually, I hope.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Philip.
Absolutely.
So Philip is not growing in a physical way. He is growing in a spiritual way. Thank you very much, Philip.
I have two breakfasts every morning. Can't you see? The first breakfast I have is in bed before I get up. I feed on the bread of life. And the second breakfast I have is a plate of cornflakes.
Thank you very much. So our spiritual growth doesn't depend upon our physical growth. It doesn't matter whether you're young, like Daisy, whether you're old-ish, like Philip, whether you're sort of somewhere in the middle, like me. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short. It doesn't matter whether you have a disability, whether you are a boy or a girl, whether you're a man or a woman. Because God is able to cause that growth on the inside. In 1 John, it says, the word of God lives in you. And if we're thinking about that song we started with Shine, it says we can shine on the inside. We can shine from the inside out so the world can see that you live in me. And that's the most important thing, that word of God is inside us. So our parable of the hungry caterpillar can tell us or can really illustrate something about our walk with God. We are what we eat. If we eat the right things and we eat the things provided by God, we will grow in his ways. So to return to those three points I made at the start, we are hungry for God. The Bible provides the food we need. And if we feed on it, we can be changed to be more like Jesus. And on a Sunday where we are giving thanks, surely becoming more like Jesus is something worth celebrating. Amen. Thank you. Rachel.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Now we're going to have a time for the Holy Spirit to work in us through prayer. Can I ask the worship team to come up? Oh. Okay, they've been there the whole time. Thank you. And also, there's some people who are prepared to offer prayer ministry. If you could get up now and be at the back and sides, available for people for prayer. But what we're going to do first is we're going to have a time of corporate prayer. We're all going to pray together. And then after that, I'm going to bring three messages that I believe God wants to say to us this morning. And then we're going to have that time as we go into worship, where that'll be your cue to jump up and go to either one of these people or someone near you and ask for that time of prayer, sort of one-to-one, for God to do business with you. And perhaps you've come with needs that are not to do with what we've done this morning. This will be the time where you can have that time for prayer. For whatever it is that you've brought with you, and you've brought it before God today, this will be that time where you can have that time to pray. So what we need to do for the bit we're going to do together is grab hold of a Bible. Now, if you didn't actually bring one, you can share, as Keith was going to demonstrate. He's right here. So you want to be holding your Bible. I think it's important for us to do this very practically. So get your hands on a Bible. With the person next to you, if you're short of Bibles, there are more at the back. So it'd be great if everyone could stand and get their hands on this powerful book. Okay, so this time is for all of us, young and old. So if between them, the children as well, can just get your hands somehow on a Bible, even if you've got 10 people reaching around one Bible, we need to take hold of this, don't we? And we need to ask God to help us to use and read and learn and know this book. So let's pray. God, we thank you for your living word. Thank you that by the Holy Spirit who inspired Scripture, you also gift us with his power in us to reveal truth, bringing wisdom and understanding to our reading of the Bible for your glory. We are hungry for you. We need to feed on your word, the Bible, and we want to be changed by you as a result, like that beautiful butterfly. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that in this book we read of your amazing love for us in sending your Son, our Saviour, to die on the cross that we might live. Thank you that the Bible is like no other book, and we ask your blessing on us each time we read, that we will know more of you and your truth. Sorry for the times we've allowed other things to be first to claim our time, robbing us of quality time reading Scripture. As we hold on to the Bible this morning, let us never let go of this all-powerful, life-changing book of wonder and mystery. Let us regularly come to your book of truth and feed. Amen. Now stay standing and with your eyes closed, because I think it might help to be able to just listen to these words of knowledge. So as I prepared for this time of prayer, I believe God gave me these three words. I was asking whether there was anything specific to pray for as I drove to work. And these three things that came to mind very quickly, which I think God once brought to our attention. So as you close your eyes, just take this time to consider whether one of these speaks to you. First, a motorbike with really wide tyres, a kind of super bike, zoomed past me in the bus lane. I wonder this morning if you feel that you're left behind when it comes to reading the Bible, and that others zoom ahead, maybe others in your small group or your energy group. Maybe you feel that you, for whatever reason, you're somehow not as far ahead as they are. Well, I really believe that God would reassure you this morning that there isn't a competition. His word is freely available to all, and we can access it in different ways. But it might be that this morning you need some special prayer about that. Second, imagine biting into an apple and finding a worm. I think some here today have been put off reading the word because you've read something that you found hard to understand, difficult to take. And this has made you neglect the reading of the whole Bible. That there are parts that you've had difficulty with and it's put you off. God says now is the time to trust him and continue to read all of the word, because now we see only part of the full story. Even though we have the entire Bible, we don't understand it all, and we won't until in heaven we will see clearly. So God wants to encourage you to read all parts, including those that you find hard, trusting in him as you do. And third, just focusing on that big fat caterpillar who had fed well. There may be somebody here who has a wonderful knowledge and understanding of the Bible because you have studied, you have spent time in God's word, and the Holy Spirit has brought wisdom and revelation. But now is the time to consider using this knowledge to bless others in a new way. Well done, good and faithful servant, God says to you. So as the music begins, if one of these speaks to you, do not miss out today. Have prayer. And I ask that God will bless you, as well as with those other prayer needs that you bring to him in this prayer ministry time.